thongs. And Lord, just pray that you'd continue to bless Tim and Jenny. And Lord, we just ask that you bless each person here, the visitors, church members, and each and every person. We just pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And also including everybody that isn't able to make it, of course, bless. I'm thinking about Hollett, just had surgery yesterday on his neck, and they fused that together. Bill's just had surgery on his knee, and Arlene on her knee, Robert in the future on the knee, and John very soon is going to have his some things fused in his neck. What? Oh, that's right. They're going to replace all that. So just pray for each and every one of us, because we need each other. Now, let me just tell you an answered prayer. I got a call today from Texas, and it started out, there's a new name written down in glory. So if you remember, Shauna and Justin were here. Well, Shauna got saved today. And so, amen. And so that's tremendous. We've been talking for, for a long time, but specifically about 5 weeks. And her last question was about a week ago. They were in the car coming back from church, and she said, well, what does it mean, confess your sins? You know, for salvation, and in that context, not for fellowship, 1 John 1:9, but for salvation. I said, well, it really means just confess that you're a sinner. Realize, you know, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And so we talked about that, and I just sort of in my mind just chalked down, there's another question that's the right question. And so it led to the point where, and I didn't push. Historically, you know, we have a tendency to push people. And so now Justin pushed, because he's not known for his patience, and he just, you know, she could die. And I said, listen, God's merciful, God's gracious, just give her time to get all the questions answered. She did, and she got them answered this morning, and accepted Christ her Lord and Savior. Now, the other interesting thing is 1 year ago, in July of 2021, I got a call on a Saturday from my dad, who is 86 at the time, and he said, Doug, I just wanted to call you and tell you that they came and visited from the church, and they said, I probably had head knowledge, but no heart knowledge, and I accepted Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. So that was my father a year ago. So I'm starting to like July's. Oh, I got saved July 6, 1980. I didn't think about that. So July's getting to be, you know, July 4th. I really like that day for some reason. It's a birthday also, Independence Day. So now Shauna's birthday, spiritually, July 31st. My dad is July 27th. I am July 6th. And the country started all off for all of us on July 4th. So we will be celebrating July here, at least in my heart and mind, quite a bit. Turn your Bibles to the book of John. And the book of John. And we didn't get very far this morning. Or yes, we did. We didn't get very far in Acts, but we did finish the chapter in John 18. So we're going to be in John 19. And I want to back up a little bit and look at verse 38 of the previous chapter of 18. My mic is on again. Oh, I turned it on, I guess, at the beginning. Verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Now he might have heard the stories about Jesus riding in on the ass and people saying Hosanna in the highest. He may have heard those stories and thought, well, if I ask the people they will make the right decision and they will let him go because I find no fault in him at all. It was supposed to be a question maybe in his mind that would help him get out of a difficult situation. Verse 40, then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber and also a murderer. And so when you look to politicians, and you know I'm involved in politics, but when you look to politicians for consistency, you're rarely going to find it. When you look to politicians for the right way to go, they're frequently going to, what I said this morning, they're going to put their finger up in the air, which way is the wind blowing this week? Oh, it is more beneficial, according to the polls, for me to take this position, and therefore that's the position I'll take, right or wrong. And that's what they do, unfortunately. Chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Now, why did he go and scourge him? Maybe he thought again, well, if I just beat him, scourge him, I will satisfy the anger of these people. I mean, they want blood. Let's give them some blood. They want to see this man suffer. Let's make him suffer. And then maybe I get to spare his life. I find no fault in him at all. But yet, he takes him and he scourges him. Verse 2, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Can you imagine one day standing before God being one of the ones that smote him? One of the ones that plucked his beard out? One of the ones that mocked him and spit on him and stood before that cross and said, come down. You saved others, save yourself. Can you imagine being a religious leader and doing what the religion did to Jesus? You know, the Bible talks about a crown there. And look at Revelation chapter 19. This is a crown of thorns, but I want you to look at Revelation chapter 19 that I talked about this morning. And I mentioned to you that Jesus Christ is coming back. In His first coming, He is the Lamb that's going to the slaughter. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, He can't take away the sin if they make Him a king right away. He's got to go to the cross. So He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die on that cross. And He's going to give up His life. No man taketh from Him. The Bible's very clear about that. The Jews didn't kill Jesus. The Romans didn't kill Jesus. And you didn't kill Jesus with your sins. Now, I know we can say that. You say, well, my sins put Jesus on the cross. Well, not really. What put Jesus on the cross was His willingness to go. I get it. But we take too much credit for ourselves. You didn't put Jesus on the cross. What put Jesus on the cross was His will to do the will of the Father, knowing that the will of the Father was to drink the cup of God's indignation. And He prayed, Lord, can you take this cup from me, but not my will, but Thine be done. He did not want that separation from the Father. So let's look at Jesus in the future. They want to put a crown of thorns on Him. In verse 11 of chapter 19 of Revelation, the Bible says, and I saw heaven open. Heaven's only open twice, once in Revelation, once when John is going up in Revelation 4, a picture of the rapture. Not the rapture. It's a picture of John as the church going up in the rapture. Heaven is open. Then you don't read about the church in Revelation 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 all the way through. You do read about the church down here on earth before Revelation 4, 1. Why? Because the church is on earth in Revelation 1, 2 and 3. But in Revelation 4, 1, we're up in heaven as the picture. Well, as reality, but as the picture of the rapture. After the rapture, the church isn't on earth anymore. So now we have the second coming. Remember, we have the rapture of the church where he comes back in the clouds and we shall meet him in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He doesn't touch his foot down on earth. He comes back, gathers together all believers, dead and alive, takes them to the clouds, takes them up into heaven. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then 7 years goes on this earth where God turns his focus back to the nation of Israel. At the end of that 7 years, now we're in Revelation 19. And here it is. I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. Verse 11. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. You see that? On Jesus' head, many crowns. Not a crown of thorns. He still will have those marks from that crown of thorns. He'll have those marks from the nails. But he's coming back with a head filled with many crowns. Because he's King of kings, plural, Lord of lords, plural. So he's coming back. He's going to judge and make war. With who? Well, anybody that hasn't been collected by the angels in Matthew 24. So here's what's going on. Heaven is open. He's going to send his angels down to this earth, and they're going to gather together the elect. And when he gathers them together for protection, he's going to kill everybody else. And when he wipes out everybody else, that's when he's judging and making war with the world. Verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. What's that name? Oh, I don't know. Dare I say? You say, oh, it's King of Kings. No, no, it's a name that no man knew. So we don't know what it is. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And I won't get into the Psalm 21 and some other places talk about that. I won't tell you. We won't get into that. We don't have time. And his name is called the, capital W, Word of God. Now, why is it a capital W? Because when you read John 1:1, the Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. Capital W. The capital W word is the incarnate word of Jesus Christ, just like here. So when I write a small W for the Word of God, non-incarnate, and then I use capital W, Word of God, when I'm speaking of Jesus Christ as the incarnate God on earth. So that's what this is here. He is called the Word of God. And by the way, your Bible will make that distinction. You go to John 1, it's a capital W for the Word. Then when you look at the Word of God in other places, it is not a capital W. Verse 14. Now watch this. Who are you? You're in verse 14. If you're saved. And the armies which were in heaven. How'd they get in heaven? The rapture. So wherever Jesus goes, we go. He raptures the church up along with other believers before, and they are part of the armies, not the army, but the armies. And what are we doing? The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fiercest and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All caps. He's got a crown. He's got many crowns. He is now King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is going to rule the nations for 1,000 years. The only people going into that millennium are those that were protected by the angels when he sent them down here to gather his elect. Everybody else is destroyed. All unbelievers are destroyed. Then those that endure the end just means that they lived until the end of the 7 years. They're going to go in the millennium. They are going to be saved. They are already saved when they go in the millennium because of Matthew 25. They have eternal life. The Bible says that. But they're going to have offspring. And those offspring are just like your offspring or my offspring. You don't birth saved people. You birth sinners. Sinners need to get saved. you were lost. Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost until you are saved. So if you have children, they are not saved until they come to know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. So in the millennium, it's going to be populated. Jesus is going to be ruling with a rod of iron. He's going to rule from Jerusalem, and they're going to populate the earth for 1,000 years. And then he's going to loose Satan for a while. And I told you about that this morning, that he's going to come out. And he's going to deceive the nations. The Bible says fire is going to come down and devour them all that are unbelievers at that time. And the only ones that will be saved are those who trusted in Jesus Christ and did not rebel against King Jesus. And that's the outline of the Bible. What's my point? He's going to wear a king. He's going to wear a crown. They may have put that crown of thorns on him, but they won't put a crown of thorns on him in the future. Look at Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17. What kind of robe did they put on him? What color was it? Now, it's my wife's favorite color, and it's been stolen just like the rainbow's been stolen. You can't like purple anymore if you're a guy or something like that. It's an insane world we live in. Men don't know they're men. Women don't know they're women. And how does one become the other? I don't know, but it's trans. And if you talk against it, you're going to cause a trans person to feel bad about themselves. And then you're transphobic. And man, I'm having a hard time. God created male and female. Do you understand that? You understand that, guys? Male, female. Never the twain will become the other. Okay. If that's all you got today, I gave it to you. Remember that. Okay. So when you're at school and they go, oh, you know, who knows whether you, what you, I don't know, homeschool, whatever. If you homeschool, cool. Do you homeschool? I can tell because you guys are like right there. You can tell when somebody's homeschooled because, you know, like we homeschooled our children and bless their hearts. You can tell you're not confused. You know you're a male. You know you're a female. And by the way, they're in public school and they know, you guys know you're females, right? Okay, they're shaking their head yes. So here's the deal. We have to offset what's taught out there. With homeschool, you're lucky. You don't have to offset it all. Mom's got to be very diligent. Dad's got to be very diligent. I got to be very diligent. We all got to do our part. We got to help this world out with these young people that are all confused. And you know you're a female, right, Abby? You're a woman? You're a woman? Yes. What? Always will be and you want to be? It'll be. See, so look, we don't have any confused young people in this church. Not a one. And I don't know about you old people, but the young people are not confused in this church. Any old people confused? Please don't raise your hand. Yes, respect to gender, everybody's not confused. There's a lot of other confusion going on. So they gave him a purple robe, remember that? Let's look at what's going to go on in the future. In Revelation 17... you have Babylon. Verse 1 talks about the great whore. See it in Revelation 17. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead wasn't King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It was Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I could go on. The point being, they gave him a purple robe to mock him. And there is a purple robe in the future. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, there's a crown of redemption. Verse 9. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for who? For the elect, right? Yeah, mine says every man. What does every mean? All? All means all? I thought he only died for the select or the elect. No, here's remember I was talking politics, right? I know this, that somebody running in a race is not the elect until they get elected. So in the Bible, nobody is the elect until they get elected. So when he talks about the elect, it's just somebody that got saved. You get saved, you are the elect. Why? Because that's what election is. They get the cart before the horse. If he died for every man, figuratively, you know, when it says man, you women can put your, you know, it's not changing the gender. I got a hair. This is not my hair, I know, because it's longer than a half an inch. It was on, it's still on my Band-Aid. Can you, oh my goodness. Well, I can. Sorry, Judy. She's like, the guy's insane up there and I'm married to him. What's going to be like when he turns 64? It's all downhill, baby. It is all downhill. You're getting better. Me? I'm not. You're supposed to age well. I don't know. In Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible talks about the Prince of Peace and the throne of David. Jesus is going to sit on that throne in the future. He's going to be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. When he came the first time, he came as a lamb. He's not coming that way the next time. So they may have put a crown of thorns on him and mocked him because they asked him, "Are you the Son of God? Are you the King of the Jews?" Well, he said, when they tried to make him a king, he left. When they tried to kill him, he walked right through them. They could not take him. They could not kill him until it was his time to die. So going back to John 19. John 19. I want to hold your place there. I want you to look at Luke 16. Remember that purple color again. And I thought this was quite significant when I was studying it out. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man died and woke up in hell. Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. At the time, this is what the heart of the earth looked like. So before Jesus died on the cross, in the heart of the earth was paradise and hell and a great gulf between the two. You couldn't go from one to the other. Now, Jesus did. So when Jesus died, he took our sins upon him. It was finished on the cross. But the Bible says his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. So his soul goes into hell, but hell can't hold him. Maybe that's when he got the keys of death and hell. We don't know. On the same day, he's over in paradise. How do you know? Because the thief on the cross that repented, he said to him, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." How many days did Jesus spend in the heart of the earth? 3 days, 3 nights. So, if this day thou shalt be with me in paradise, the Bible says his soul was not left in hell. When he dies, his soul goes to hell. Hell can't hold him. He goes across that gulf and he's in paradise that same day. 3 days later, he arises from the grave. His soul comes and rejoins his body. It's the resurrection. And that's how it works. Now, in your Bible, you're told about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. In Luke 16, the Bible describes this rich man, and it starts in verse 19. This is not a parable. How do you know? The word certain is there. Look at Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in what? Purple. And fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Purple at the time, you know, was probably a rare commodity. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, how do you dye it? You've got to have something purple to dye it with. But he fared sumptuously. He was a rich man. He was dressed in purple. And they're mocking Jesus by putting this purple robe on him. And there was, in verse 20, and there was a, what? Certain beggar. And he's given a name. You're not told of the rich man's name. Why? Because it doesn't matter. He's lost forever. But you are told Lazarus's name because you're going to see Lazarus. I don't know about how many of you think about things this way. But one day when I get to heaven, there are certain people I want to look up. Jesus, of course. But I want to see Elijah, Elisha. I want to see Lazarus. I want to see so many others. I mean, can you just for a moment think about what heaven's going to be like? You're going to go to heaven if you're saved, and you're going to see Paul. You're going to see Peter. You're going to see Thomas. You're going to see all those that trusted in God's revelation and made it to heaven. You're going to see all of them. I mean, you're going to be up there for all eternity. Can you imagine the first day? I don't know how many you get to see. I know you got a mansion. The Bible says there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You got a mansion. What's a mansion? I don't know, but it sounds like it's pretty big. You're going to have a mansion in heaven. And maybe you're going to be like this. You're going to say, hey, I want to have a gathering over my house tonight, over my mansion. Who wants to come? And Moses says, hey, I'll be there. And maybe Moses shows up. And you know he shows up because you got this waterfall in the front of your house, this little spring, and all of a sudden it parts and you go, man, there's Moses. I know. I mean, you just don't know what it's going to be like. But why would anybody want to miss that? We don't know what it's going to be like. We just know that, listen, you're going to know each other. Lazarus is in paradise in the heart of the earth, and that rich man remembers that poor beggar. Send Lazarus to my five brothers, that they don't come to this horrible place. How did he know it was Lazarus? Because he recognized him. Now, let me just go a little bit further, and then we're back to John, because I got to make this clear. Paradise is no longer in the heart of the earth. Paul mentions somebody, and by the way, he never spoke in the third person about himself, so I'm not so sure it was Paul that went to heaven. I know a man such as went into the third heaven. I don't think that was Paul because he doesn't write that way. He might have known somebody else that went into the third heaven. But somebody went into the third heaven and then came back. And he wasn't allowed to tell those things. But he said he went up into, caught up into paradise. Well, if you're caught up into paradise, paradise can't be down there. So what did Jesus do? He led captivity captive. He emptied paradise in the heart of the earth. You know what else the Bible says? Hell hath enlarged itself. Well, without paradise and a great gulf there anymore, hell hath enlarged itself. Not even made for man, made for the devil and his angels. And yet, man chooses to go there because man rejects the only thing that can keep him from there, and that is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't made for man. God made it for the devil and his angels. But paradise now is in heaven, and that's all you need to know. Back to John. In John chapter 19, we looked at verses 1, 2, and 3. They put a purple robe on him. They smote him. In verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again. He's going out to the people. He knows this man is innocent. And saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Three times he declared that he found no fault in him. In verse 38 of the previous chapter, I find in him no fault at all. Verse 4, I find no fault in him. In verse 6, for I find no fault in him. Politician's got a problem. Listen, if you're anything, don't be a politician in life. Meaning, don't be what I'm describing as a politician. There are Christian politicians. I know them. I appreciate them. I enjoy our lieutenant governor. Nunez came in into town, and I got to bring in about 20 people to meet her, and we sat down. She graduated from Pensacola Christian College, a great Christian lady. She was raised on Abeka. She didn't graduate from Pensacola Christian. She was raised on the Abeka in a school down south and had a great testimony of salvation. That's encouraging. I mean, she lives it. Why is this state doing so well? I believe because there are Christians in key places. They're helping to make the decision. I know the governor's staff is just, there are Christians, so many of them surrounding him. What an amazing thing. It makes a difference if you are somebody that cares about doing right. You look at what happened in this country and the way that they've been trying to take away our rights. And there's a couple of governors, the governor from Texas, the governor from Florida, stood up and said, no, we're going to do this. We're not going to mask everybody up. We're not going to force everybody to get a shot. We're going to do what's right because you have a right to make those decisions yourself. He says, I find no fault in him. Verse 5, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. Behold the man. You remember in your Bibles in Isaiah 7:14, the Bible says, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. In John 1, verse 29, the Bible says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And now he's saying, behold, the man. Now, Jesus is a man, but there's a big difference in this man. And I want to talk to you for a moment on the twin nature of the Lord. When his deity is mentioned, his humanity lingers in the shadows. So in his deity, the fact that he is God manifest in the flesh, he is God. When his deity is mentioned, his humanity is in the background. As a man on earth, he needed sleep. He was tired. He hungered. Remember in the boat, he slept soundly in the storm. But when the storm arose and they came to him, he arose. And as God, he calmed the storm. Not as the man. But is God, because God is over the storms. God's over your storms. God's over my storms. You get into a storm, God can take care of it. You just have to look to Him and you've got to trust in Him. We have a problem with trust. And the whole thing that the devil's trying to do in this country and around the world is destroy people's trust in one another, let alone in God. So then another thing you got to think about. As a man, he sorrowed at the death of Lazarus. Remember that? He was sorrowful. But is God able to call Lazarus back from the dead? You see, so at first there's his humanity and his deity is in the shadows. And then all of a sudden his deity is in the front and his man, being a man, is in the shadows. And then as a man, he knows all about human needs, but as God, He is able to satisfy every single one of them. He knows your need before you even know your need. He knows my need before I even know my need. He knows your concerns, how to bring joy in your life. He knows how to put a smile on your face, how to put joy in your heart, and He'll do it if you let Him. Or you can fight Him and lose. Behold the man. But he's not just the man. Verse 6, when the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify him, crucify him. See, they said earlier, you know, it's unlawful for us to put any man to death. Well, that's not true. They tried to stone him many times. What did he do? Walked right out between them. They probably got tired of trying to kill this man. And they finally thought, well, you know what? We've been unable to kill him. And later on in Acts, remember, they're going to have a hard time keeping anybody in prison. Just because it's God. Because there's something going on that God wants to show. And God wants to be God. And God wants to show you that God can do anything. And he does. They say, crucify him, crucify him. Verse 7. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. You can't wash your hands of that. You're still accountable. You say, well, he couldn't have done it. They would have killed him. They would have come and taken him, whether he was the king or whatever Pilate, you know, the governor, they would have come and they would. Well, guess what? Sometimes it'll cost you to stand for truth and stand for right. What is truth? I'll tell you what truth is. Behold the man. That man is God manifest in the flesh. That man died on that cross, and the Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. I was made righteous in the eyes of God because of Jesus Christ. My sins, past, present, future, nailed to that cross. They'll never come up again. Now, I will tell you this. We will stand accountable for our work. Will be judged after salvation. Your sin affects your work. The Bible says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Do you know why I talk the way I talk? Because I want to persuade you to do right, live right. Because that's what I'm supposed to do. I need you to persuade me to live right, do right. The Bible says that our work will be tried. Our foundation is secure. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. What if you build a house on a concrete foundation and a fire comes and burns it all up? What's left? Jesus Christ. You said foundation and I'm saying yes, Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that our work will be tried of what sort it is. It'll either be wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, precious stones. If it's gold, silver, and precious stones, when that fire tries it, the Bible says that it'll be purified even more. Your work, the gold, silver, and precious stone, will remain, and you shall receive a reward. But then there's another kind. Wood, hay, stubble. It's hard to do with a hurt finger. I just did four. Wood, hay, stubble. Without the thumb out. You know what happens when the fire tries it? It burns up. Your work, your whole life. Your whole life's work. Why did you do what you did? Did you do it for unsound reasons? Did you do certain things for self and for pride rather than for the glory of God? Did you do it for the glory of God? It won't be wood, hay, and stubble. And so it'll try every man's work of what sort it is by the fire. And if it burns up, you'll suffer loss, but still be saved. If it's gold, silver, and precious stones, you'll be rewarded. And the Bible talks about the crowns and things like that. I won't get into that tonight. In fact, I'm going to have to draw to a close because there's much more to be said that I cannot say and let you out of here within the next 20 minutes. So, stand together. Lord, we are truly thankful for the Word of God. Truly thankful that You teach us such great truths. The Bible is inexhaustible. Truth is inexhaustible. We'll be learning the Bible for the rest of eternity in heaven with the foundation that we build while we're here on this earth. Help us to be conscious of the fact that You want us to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, a good foundation against the time to come. Help us, Lord, to grow, mature, and to be what You want us to be for Jesus Christ. With the pianist plays,